Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves podcast. Tom Schreier. I had to start it, dude, because you're just ripping me.
Rightfully so,
off air. I'm for it. So, at TSCHREIER3 on Twitter. How you doing, Tommy?
I am doing well.
How was Mr. Sansevier's show this morning?
I am doing it now Wednesday, so I'm Mondays and Wednesdays.
Oh, they took you off Friday.
It took me off Friday. We're going to talk about comedians, I think, later, but I am on with Brian Miller, who is quite a comical man.
And he's on there every Wednesday?
Yep, Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, and Jeff O'Brien, who is the legal representative for about 60 breweries in the Twin Cities.
Oh, wow.
So I've met the Modest people, the Urban Growler people, I'm trying to remember who else. But I'm a brewery-loving man, probably to my own demise. I do, like, talking to him about his breweries.
You do love you some growlers, don't you?
Right, exactly.
How is that show, by the way? I haven't tuned in a while. The BS program.
It is all over the place. I will say there's no rock we leave unturned. However, we can have a conversation about ESPN layoffs. By the way, do you have big takes on the ESPN layoffs?
So
we go ESPN layoffs to like cheese curds, and I'm like, how did we do this?
I like cheese curds. I don't like ESPN layoffs. Yeah. I mean, what kind of world is it that we live in when Sherwood Strauss gets laid off?
Did he? I haven't seen the comprehensive list yet. I know he was really good.
Excellent.
Now, someone told me this could be completely unreliable because it was a Bleacher Report person. He was at Bleacher Report when I was there, and I really liked his writing. Someone said he was a prick to work with. However, he may have just been responding to how Bleacher Report was treating him. So,
that's fair enough.
But no, I like him. And really, this, you know, it's kind of funny. Mike Gelfand wrote about this on our site. Mike is on with me on Mondays, and he is actually on there on Fridays. But, you know, he pointed out, look, no one's protesting ESPN when it's the 300 people behind the scenes who get laid off. And I'm sure there were other people that mentioned it. Susie Colbert, I thought, did a really good job on her program saying that, look, ESPN's not the same with these people and that there's a lot of production behind the scenes that no one sees. But when you have, you know, Ed Werder and, you know,
Stephen A. Smith.
What? No.
I'm not saying it in a complimentary fashion.
Wait, Stephen A. actually got laid off?
No, he didn't get laid off.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
When
yeah.
you lay off all of these good people,
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have known if it was Stephen A. Smith, but.
I didn't know Ed Werder got laid off. Wow.
Yeah, he was, I think, the first person to say it on Twitter. Roger Cossack, who's had his ups and downs, but people know him. Jamie Sire, who was on CSN Bay Area when I lived out there, was one of their better people, obviously. You know, it's kind of funny. It's actually switched around where if you're at a strong newspaper now, for example, the Star Tribune, your job is actually safer than it is at ESPN because there's forces they don't control. There's people cutting the cord. How many of your friends actually have cable?
You know not I mean? Many. I don't have cable.
Yeah, and I have cable, and I provide it for everyone else. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, I go to my friend's house, and I'll you know.
You log in your Comcast account so that yeah, you can stream games?
Yeah, which Xfinity is great now that you can actually do you can do it on your phone, and then they have Chromecast, and it really doesn't take up that much battery. So I can just have my phone in my pocket and be, even if we're not really watching the Twins game, it's on. I know what's happening. Things are coming around in that way. But yeah, it's disruptive because that was supposed to be your kind of, you know, high ground, right? If you were really good, you think of like Kevin Seifert, who covered the Vikings really well here, ends up at ESPN. I believe he did not get laid off, but. You know, Danny Cannell's a big name. You got
Dilfer.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer.
You can't lose games in the NFL if you don't win games. Whatever the quote was, just awful.
Trent Dilfer he said some weird things about Kaepernick too. There's another sport called hockey, which we've mentioned occasionally.
Fight puck.
There's a few fight puck people that are very good who got laid off who NBCSN should pick up. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and other people took pay cuts and whatnot or smaller roles. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it's not fun to hear about this stuff. And as you and I both know, it's a grind to get into this. And then it seems like once you get one of those jobs, you should have to work your way out of it, right? You know, you shouldn't get laid off even though you're doing good work. And that, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a Bill Simmons apologist slash lover of his products. And he probably was smart to get out of there and create his own thing where it probably will never be as popular or as great as Scranton, but at least he has kind of fertile ground to grow. So I don't know. A lot of interesting stuff going on. I know we're probably not touching on basketball, but I think this
That's fine. It's the offseason for the Wolves.
And ESPN's a huge player with basketball, right? I mean, them and Turner have the big billion-dollar deal where, what was it? Can't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, they have the big basketball contract to show their games. And, you know, who knows how this affects things. Gelfand, of course, being the snide person he is like they didn't lay off enough people. He should have gone for
I'm reading it right now.
Yeah, he does not like Dick Vitale. I know he's controversial or people are up and down about him. I'm sure he mentioned Bayless who left, but just like
he mentions Kirk Herbstreit. Check out the article at zonecoverage.com by the way. He once started more than 100 sentences during a single game. If you're Clemson's QB. Oh my goodness.
And Mike is actually someone who like writes that down, like Tally did. And I'm like, here's my thing, and maybe this is a very minority opinion. I really don't notice unless it's bad. You know what I mean? Like there's both locally and nationally, there's people that kind of drive me up the wall. And I think there's just better techniques that could be used. I like that baseball, for example, uses Tom Verducci. I'm trying to think if there's a basketball example. However, basketball seems – I think, first of all, we're really blessed and just like it's ridiculous how good the basketball production is here. And it's good that the NBA realizes you have to allow the people doing the games to criticize the team at times. Nationally, I mean, is there anyone who you really like or drives you up the wall? Especially now that, you know, like we have the playoffs going on and we're both probably watching ESPN more than ever.
As far as analysts are concerned, nobody really drives me up the wall. As far as the TNT staff is concerned, I like Chris Webber, and that's probably an unpopular opinion. I'm not so much for his, you know, I don't always agree with his analysis, and I don't think he's the best analyst, but I like the way that he sets it up, and I think he's really eloquent in his delivery. I just like his tone and his speech. But there's really nobody who drives me off the wall. Reggie Miller would be one.
Yeah,
who,
he is not good.
Who drives people off the wall. But that's sort of his shtick. So
I know,
it's
I'm
like,
not a big fan of him.
Jackson would be another one.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I think broadcasting should be pretty straightforward. There are people you can tell when they're playing that will make good broadcasters. I don't think it's what Carl Anthony Towns would end up doing, and I don't know what he does afterwards, but I think he'd be really good, for example.
He'd be really good at a lot of different things.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think of someone who really sticks out in my mind, but you can kind of tell, and I really think you should have recent players in the booth because recent players have played against these players. They offer insights that are new, and I think it's new to them, so they're excited about it. It's not this rote, you know, kind of.
I'm indifferent on that.
It is more so with baseball.
As a concept.
It is more obvious to see in baseball than it is in basketball. But I think I would like to see more recent players kind of shuffle through. But yeah, and I've said this 100 times. I was watching the end of, I think it was Memphis, San Antonio last night, and with a few friends who are big basketball fans. And we all agreed, like, they've got the studio showdown for sure. You know, there's a good balance of goofiness and also some serious analysis that happens there. So I don't think Charles Barkley has watched film in like 30 years. If he did while he's in the NBA, but like, you know, him and Shaq are, you know, Kenny are exciting. Ernie Johnson, I think, does a good job moderating the panel. And ESPN had like that one little blip where they had, and Simmons wasn't great, but they had Simmons, Magic Johnson,
Jalen Rose,
Jalen Rose, I'm trying to think who else there. And they seem to be coming back a little bit. Michelle Beadle is very well liked. Again, Chauncey Bill is kind of a relatively recent player. We can talk about the league.
He's very smart.
Yeah, I'm a Jalen Rose fan, although I know that people sit on both sides of the fence there. But ESPN seems to be coming around, but they don't have the quite what TNT does, although I think the reporters are more reporters, right? People who...
Than TNT.
Yeah. I think TNT is a little bit more of a show.
Yeah, they have the... Who does TNT have for sideline reporters? Obviously no longer Craig Sager, RIP.
For ESPN,
I'm talking TNT.
Oh, TNT. It's a really good, and see the thing is because I don't notice, I assume it's good, right?
Yeah,
because it hasn't stood out. I don't know, and that shouldn't matter. Like I think these stupid interviews where they talk to the guys, Popovich doesn't like. There's a reason why he doesn't like it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And so I guess I don't notice it, and so I'm fine with it. If that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. This would be a good topic for that. Media podcast I never started, by the way. I'm still waiting for approval on that, worth. But let's not go down that road, or else we're going to be talking like we were off air just a minute ago.
One day.
No draft prospect profiles. I know Timmy and I will have a few more ready for Sunday. We did a couple of them earlier this week. I talked to Mike Brody earlier this week in a
really
podcast,
good podcast
you listened to. And on Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. We went to the, Tim Fakeless and I went to the House of Comedy at Mall of America and represented the podcast down there as celebrity judges. Common Man was the host.
That's super funny.
We saw some funny people, some not so funny people.
Did you get harassed for your judgment?
No, I harassed Common Man, though.
Really?
A little bit,
Let's hear this.
Well, because he pronounced Tim Fakeless's name wrong.
His name is not Tim Fakeless.
It's Fakeless. And I was giving him grief for reading our name off of cue cards. I was like, Common, what's it say about us when you got to read our celebrity judges' names off cue cards? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I thought Common was funny, but it's hard to judge a bit when you've heard all the jokes before, and he just told all the same jokes that he tells on the radio all the time.
That sounds about right. The thing I've heard about that comedy venue, so, and again, Brian Miller, I think his main thing is Acme, and then he does a lot of basically whatever the Acme of, let's say, St. Louis or Denver or whatever is, he goes there. He said the problem with the Mall of America is there's a lot of people that are just kind of in and out, and like, you know, if you're going to Acme, you're going there as a destination to watch comedy. He's like, with the Mall of America, it's almost kind of a sideshow or whatever. Obviously, have you been to Comedy or Acme Comedy Club?
No, I've been outside it a few times.
Really?
Yeah,
right,
I've never
right.
Been
yeah,
to
for
it.
Sansa's show is right above there. I'm trying to think. I think I'm going there May 6th. You could join me May 6th. It's Mikey Winfield, different comedian, although very funny in San Francisco.
Is that that's a formal invitation?
Formal invitation.
All right, I'm in.
That's good. Riles was out. Stupid Riles. Off in Detroit Lakes, and my other friend will be there. But I would say Acme is a cool, like, very traditional kind of small comedy club. And I guess is the Mall America one big? I don't even know.
It's not very big.
Okay.
Anywhere between 100 and 200 people in there. But
yeah, that's about Acme's size. I think his point was more like it's just kind of a different crowd. Did people feel engaged? I mean,
it was an open mic night, so
yeah,
I feel like
a
lot
those.
Of the comedians who were performing brought their own support there. So a lot of them, especially with one performer specifically, had a lot of support, but people were engaged. I mean, when one guy was making jokes he shouldn't have made, there were boos. He was cut off early. It was...
Like offensive jokes?
Yeah, like rape jokes.
Oh, yuck.
Which are not funny, by the way.
Yeah, I don't get this whole, like, backlash against the... I understand some people are overly PC, and you got a lot of people to crack jokes, but it's weird that people would insist on doing that.
It was the first guy who went, and it was just... He was just not funny.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that he wasn't funny, but anyway... overall, a good time. It was funny. The one joke I got to crack was because when Common threw it to us to make our analysis, our mics weren't working. And that's when I was like, Common, I don't know what it says about us as celeb judges because our mics don't work and you're reading our name off cue cards, but one of the performers so far might be funnier than you.
Oh, God.
I didn't name names, obviously, but that was the one joke I got to crack. But
no, that's funny. I do like... I love live comedy. I even when I just watch it on Netflix or whatever, or Comedy Central, but I love stand up. Just kind of the raw, just sitting up there cracking jokes.
Who's your favorite?
It's a really, really good question. I mean, Chris Rock seems dated now, but I did love Chris Rock kind of in his prime.
Back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day.
He goes forgotten now, I think.
Yeah. TJ Miller's pretty funny.
Never heard of him.
He's really freaking whacked out. If you want to see a local comedian like him, I know Cy Amundsen as well because he's friends with Brian, and they do a show together, the Cy Amundsen show. He is a lot like TJ Miller, where it's just like, you know, like Brian is one of those guys who has his bit down, right? And he knows when to throw in like the punchline and it all kind of runs together.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just out of control. Like I think he's literally saying whatever comes to the top of his mind and it's funny. And I think TJ Miller is a little bit like that, or at least he gives the same impression. I'm trying to think, you know, like who else? I don't know if there's anyone I watch religiously, but it is funny seeing like Jon Stewart, for example, do stand up. Or
that would be funny.
I'm trying to think of people who like have other roles who have kind of fallen into that. But there's a lot of really good local comedians, and I do think whether it's Mall of America or at Acme, it's worth going to and seeing.
On to basketball. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the games last night? The Bucks-Raptors game was probably the most fun game of the playoffs this
year.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I gotta not eat ice when I'm on the show.
I am a big advocate of eating ice, though. Just ask my teeth. They're real flat.
I think I'm very, like, I don't know, twitchy or something. I'll just do stuff that's not smart randomly. But
might get some ice over here myself.
I've tempted you now. No, so the issue with the Raptors-Bucks is it ran against the Capitals Penguin
series.
Yeah, which is
Crosby scored two goals in like 36 seconds, I heard.
Yeah, a little.
See, this guy's pretty familiar with fight puck.
That's nice, the old fight puck. Big time rivalry, Ovechkin and Crosby at least at one time were the two best players in the NHL. I will say, but I did catch a little bit of that Raptors Bucks.
What was the final score of that Caps Pens game?
3-2, I believe.
Pens? Penguins win?
Yes, Penguins won.
All right.
I will say this generally, though, and I think that the Toronto series was an example of this. It's been an exciting playoffs, aside from Cleveland running over Indiana, but even then they were down 25 points, right, in game three.
As were the Bucks before they made the Sterling comeback last night. The Bucks were down 25, had a 2-point lead during the second half at one point, but ended up missing 10 free throws and losing 92-89.
Yeah. So, and I mostly caught the highlights because depending on which one I was switching in between, I did catch the highlights later. I would say this though, like it's been an exciting playoffs, but the best team seems to come ahead, right? I mean, and no matter how well Russell Westbrook played, can't overcome Houston. Memphis, I think, fought valiantly in the San Antonio series. But this
most pertinently Boston, they're up 3-2 on Chicago after Chicago.
Right. And it just, if Boston lost, you know, as much as those upsets are fun, I remember I think the Warriors upset Dallas, right, as an 8 seed, like an 0-7.
Yeah.
And especially given that I know a lot of people in the Bay Area, they
B-Diddy.
And again, this is probably some bias, but one of the guys I was with is from Fort Worth. So obviously Dallas, not a factor in the playoffs, but you know, he was saying, and I agree with this, I think we want to see Houston, San Antonio. I don't know how much the Texas rivalry matters, but that is going to be a really exciting series. And with the Boston, Chicago, you just feel bad if Boston lost, because I think it would be like, you know, Isaiah Thomas plays such an important role on that team and is sister died, and that may be why he's not playing as well. And I feel like that would hang over that whole series and all the drama that would unfold in it.
That's a fair point, yeah.
So I would like to see Boston win that. I've not been interested at all in Washington, Atlanta. Maybe I discredit Atlanta.
You don't have broads in Atlanta, bro?
You don't have broads in Atlanta, no, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I want to see, I think I said this before, the second round is going to be exciting. I really hope Utah closes that series out.
They have the opportunity to do so tonight.
Yeah, and I would love to see Boston, Washington in the next round, because I think that's actually one where you could see an upset. And God, it would be fun to see Toronto give Cleveland this series. You know, even if it goes 7 games and you see Cleveland win, and certainly it's fun seeing LeBron factor into whether it's the Eastern Conference Finals or the actual finals. But the second, the shaping up that the first round was better than expected, and it means, or I hope, and now that I say this, it'll be a letdown, but I'm hoping the second round will be even better. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to let you answer this question before I go on. What was it that you were going to say before we went on air that you said, oh, I'm going to save it? You're more engaged in this first round than you've ever been?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think the way I've always seen it is, and I'm both a hockey and basketball fan, hockey is fun because it's random, but it's also, that's kind of its downfall, is that you don't know if really the best team wins.
Yeah, Jonathan Quick could go on a tear and the Kings could just all of a sudden win the
right, series. And it's easy to be biased given we're in Minnesota. I think most hockey fans would rather see Minnesota Chicago in the second round than St. Louis Nashville.
Yeah, you're saying nobody's tuning into the Nashville.
I mean, St. Louis has a diehard fan base, and Nashville has a good fan base considering, like, it's Nashville. Smaller city, not a traditional hockey market, where St. Louis probably wasn't a traditional hockey market, but it's become a hotbed in some sense, if anything, because they lost a football team and they basically have, you know, hockey and baseball, and baseball's the big ticket there. I just think, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of what the an Oklahoma City-Memphis series would be fine. I'd rather see Houston-San Antonio, right?
For sure.
Milwaukee-Indiana would be interesting. I'd rather see Toronto-Cleveland. I think the problem with the NBA often was, I was like, why did they play the first round? Like, why wouldn't you just consolidate the amount of playoff teams there are or make it best of five? This was a point Charles Barkley made. I don't know if you caught this, where he's like, I've never been swept. And they're like, well, you've been swept. It was just in a best of five.
Yeah.
He goes, well, it's not a seven-game series. It doesn't count. I was like, okay. But, you know, part of me just wonders, is this really what's best for basketball? That the best players are just – and some of these guys, LeBron just seems like superhuman at times. I know he focuses on his body and staying in shape and all this. But it just seems ridiculous that LeBron James, like – I really don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx it. I'm knocking on wood right now. Stays healthy through all this. The mileage on his legs.
Just, I don't think he gets enough credit for it. So I'm happy you're saying it.
It's a ridiculous phenomenon. But I'm just wondering, is this what's best for the NBA? Because the best teams do seem to advance. But why not create the drama right away? Because I do think there's a chance Washington upsets Boston.
There's a good chance. In fact, I would put my money on that, because who's the best player in that series, assuming Washington wins tonight to advance out of the first round against Atlanta?
John Wall, right? Am I overthinking it?
No, I don't think you're over. I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
You could go Al Horford maybe, but I think it's John Wall.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to see Toronto create some drama. I will never forget, I think this was last year, I was at a bachelor party in Arizona. And with some diehard, I was North Phoenix. I'm sure I've told you this. But, you know, my friend, I was there with a whole bunch of basketball guys, and we were watching before the Toronto Cleveland series. I think it was actually, did they win game three?
Toronto won the first two games.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then the Cavs came and swept the rest. Before
the series, then I think the, two of my friends made a like hefty wager, and this is probably not a sober wager, but a hefty wager on Cleveland.
Wager's a wager.
And lost a lot of money.
Really?
And I was like, you know, as much as we assume the outcome of some series in basketball, like Toronto, I think Toronto could give them, you know, make this thing interesting. With Houston, San Antonio, part of me has a ton of respect for San Antonio. And would like to see them advance. Part of me would love to see Houston be the disruptor, and I think I'm leaning that way. I would love to see, I think Golden State's going to finish off Utah or the Clippers. But man, like, Houston just seems to have the capability of doing something improbable because of the way they play. They also could get swept because it's...
I'm waiting to see Popovich's... He's going to have something up his sleeve, right? You'd think.
Right. You got it. You got it.
He'll have an adjustment or an audible or an equalizer to Harden. You have to wonder what it's going to be, and I'm looking forward to that. I am all in at this point on the Utah-Golden State series, assuming that Utah can beat the Clippers, because I think Utah is the perfect villain for Golden State. They might not win, but I hope they bring it to six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Johnson's been fun. He's been huge in all three of Utah's wins so far.
The other weird thing about that bracket is if Utah somehow beats Golden State, and I don't think it's in, like, I think there's a formula. I think you have to play physical with Golden State. And I think something like Utah with balanced scoring and seems like sound fundamentals from what I remember from, you know, the playoffs, but also the regular season. Maybe could upset that, but also wouldn't Utah be the perfect foil for Houston if somehow Houston passed?
I think Utah's the perfect foil for both teams, yeah.
And it would just be a wild run. I think people would really get on board with that team.
I think so
they're
too.
Really likable. So yeah, I mean, this, like I said, this is the most engaged, you know, I've been. It justifies the first round that I don't like in the NBA. But above all else, it's fun to have it entertaining and the results make sense, right? With hockey, sometimes it can be frustrating where the best team actually seems to be the team that has the most points in the regular season, not necessarily the one that wins the tournament at the end. So that's I think, you know, all the thoughts I have on that. But I really like how it's covered. The NBA has gotten to the point where it can just become a part of a common conversation. People aren't going to kind of look at you if you start talking about it. And you don't know if they're an NBA fan.
It's like, hey, basketball is fun.
Yeah, and it really is. It's just such a likable sport right now. I think baseball is coming around, but it is so slow. And there's people that just don't like it because there's not enough action.
I won't watch it. I played it.
Yeah, I know. Football, you know.
I yawned as I said.
I know, exactly. That was really funny. Football, you know, the violence and kind of just. Football is a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of baggage.
And the draft's going on right now, by the way.
And the draft, which I think we did really good coverage of. I'm not just saying it's because our people, but, you know, Luke and Arif, kind of Luke with the film breakdown, Arif with the analysis, you being part of that show, somehow balancing all the crazy people there. But, you know, I think we did a really good job covering that. And it is fun to see how it all unfolds. It is really funny, though, how months of work goes into it, and then all of a sudden, freaking the Bears trade up for Mitch Trubisky, and you're like, whoa, what the hell?
John Lynch!
there's some wackiness going on with the NFL draft.
He swindles Chicago out of three picks. I couldn't believe it.
You gotta love it. But, yeah, I think, you know, the NBA is just very likable, and it is, I mean, we not only cover the Wolves, but we get to meet the other coaches. You do have the opportunity, if you want to interview the other players. I just think it's really hard not to like it. And I think this narrative of kind of it being goofy goes away when you see these very structured teams. And not only that, but just kind of the difference between Golden State's philosophy and Morey ball and what, you know, Utah does and this program the Spurs have and this and that. You know, it's really hard to just kind of, you know, find fault with a game that's this exciting. The one thing I want to bring up, and this just came to my mind right now. Have you heard the theory, and I can't remember the guy's name, it's like an elementary school teacher, but he submitted this and really is pushing this. He thinks until the last 2 minutes, you play with a clock. After the last 2 minutes, you play to a score in the basketball game.
And that score is somehow determined based on what happened before those two
yes.
minutes?
Yes, there's like a mathematical...
I like it because I think the excitement of basketball is at its greatest in the final minutes, but what
it
ruins it is the stoppages.
I mean, and this is very much a, you know, we're located in the middle of the country. This is very much an East Coast, Midwest problem, but it is such a bummer, like, to be at midnight, like, staying up, especially with the Utah Clippers one. I've watched literally every minute of it, I think.
What?
Right. Good grief. It's such a bummer to be like, I want to go to bed and please stop calling timeouts and stop fouling and you're going to lose the game and I'm stupid for not turning this off, but I won't.
Is Tubby Smith coaching this
right,
or what?
Right. That's, I mean, it's an idea they have. I don't know exactly how that would play out and how the math works on it, but it would be interesting, especially because that's how we play basketball, right? It's
you go to 21,
right.
Make it, take it
yes.
on the blacktop, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea in theory. I think a better idea is what FIBA does. Is in the last 2 minutes, coaches can't call timeouts, and it's only really players.
Oh, interesting.
And so that limits stoppages for one. I think there might be more to it than that. I could pull it up. I'm not going to. But when you watch FIBA ball,
yeah,
the last 2 minutes are, the you know, there's less stoppages, and it's more exciting.
That's the nit I have to pick. Otherwise, the NBA is more balanced than ever. There are really fun, exciting people in this. And it's just, I look down the row of kind of the coaches that will advance, and they're, they're people I like. You know what I mean? We interview these guys and kind of, you know, you only see a snapshot of their life, but it's, I don't know. I think that's important. You have to be able to get behind the people in it. And, man, I mean, as much as it may end up Golden State, Cleveland, here's the thing. That's the maybe quote unquote worst. It's not the worst case scenario, but
people don't like repetition.
But at the same time, and this is actually, I think it was Will Leitch wrote this in SI, unlike movies, sequels get better in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's more narrative just, as time goes on.
We saw what happened last year. Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
So we may end up seeing that, although there, I have some sort of confidence that it may get disruptive or disrupted in a way that's exciting. You know, even if it's Utah facing Cleveland, it'd be kind of a crazy, like...
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a crazy sequence.
What would be... I don't know if I'm prepared to call it terrible, but I think in the East...
What's the worst case scenario?
Well, Washington. Washington, Utah would be the worst case scenario for the NBA Finals, in my opinion. I mean, no casuals, I think, would tune into that.
Yeah.
But that's my cynical perspective.
It's also very unlikely to happen.
Well, is it? I think the one team in the East that can upset Cleveland is Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the one in the West
could
be Utah. You can argue Houston, I'm sure.
But if you look at the other way around, like if it's Washington and Golden State, you would just mark it as John Wall versus, you know, Curry or something like that. You can't, there's a way to market it. If it's one of the other works out, you probably don't want both disruptors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's also unlikely to happen. There's part of me, though, that is really pulling for a Toronto and just, it's because Dwayne Casey comes back here. You go, why the hell did the Wolves fire him? He's so nice to everybody.
Kevin McHale, damn it.
Yeah, but there's something that I'm almost pulling for. It's less about the players and more I really like Dwayne Casey. But, yeah, I mean, it's really engaging. I think it's a fun time to be a basketball fan, even if the Wolves are – the playoffs are kind of a rumor to the Wolves.
I think that now that we've said all this, I think the Spurs are sleepers too because we forget they have Kawhi Leonard.
Did you read Jason Concepcion's piece about how Kawhi is the next Kobe or something like that?
No, but I saw a tweet of it, and it's not, I don't know.
It is, I think, reading the stats a little bit too much.
Well, I can see how.
They're just different people. I see Kawhi as literally like a robot. Like, I think we might find out he's a robot.
He still drives his 2004 Chevy Tahoe or whatever. I don't think he has back windows in it or something like that.
Oh, God, Kawhi. But, yeah, he's just a very different person. I think a Kobe is snarling and biting at his, you know, jersey and all that, but I don't know. I think I'm along for the ride on this.
That is, I think, looking too far into the statistics. But anyway, tonight, 6:30 NBA TV, Wizards Hawks. Hawks are at home looking to avoid elimination. 7:00 ESPN, Bulls Celtics. Same deal, Bulls at home hoping to avoid an elimination down 3-2. And then 9:30 after a nap, I'll be tuning into, Clippers, Jazz. Jazz are at home. They're going to look to lock it up over the Los Angeles Clippers. No games tomorrow, of course. And then on Sunday, the second round begins with, any of the game sevens, if necessary, will be played. And then on Monday, the second round begins.
Yeah, I think it's, I've heard this from a lot of people, but some of the most engaging stuff. And I just think if you're going to hitch your wagon any sport right now, it's basketball.
Totally.
I just think it's in a really good place.
Did you hear about Larry Bird?
No, it's the...
Stepping down as president of basketball operations of the Indiana Pacers.
It's interesting. So you think Paul George is going to abandon ship there?
I did get a direct message from a listener of the program.
Nice.
He gave me the lowdown on Steve Aiken, who has both corrected me and given me the heads up. Shouts to you. Paul George has one season left on his contract, plus a player option he will decline because of the cap spike. If we traded bundles to get him, we being the Wolves, he might simply walk as an unrestricted free agent next summer. Jimmy Butler at least has two guaranteed years before his player option, but Chicago might not want to deal with
it. I think maybe you look at Paul George next year. I think the Wolves need to go all in with Serge Ibaka. Without obviously,
I turned you on to that. I'm starting to regret it now.
Almost. Oh, am I over?
No, you're not overdoing it. I think you're the only one beating the drum, and I need that. I'm just like, what have I done?
Yeah, I just really like his fit.
Defensively, it works.
And really, I think at the end of the day, if you start Levine, that's not terrible. I think it's optimal to have him off the bench. But, I I think they should look seriously at Butler. I just don't know if you want Tibbs negotiating with the Bulls. That just doesn't seem like a good deal.
Fair enough.
I like Jimmy Butler a lot. The one thing about Paul George is I think Butler can be a star in and of himself. Paul George is actually great if he's your second best player. And in Minnesota, he would be, right? It'd be Towns, George, Wiggins, probably.
Yeah.
I think he's a perfect fit.
I'm out on George.
Really?
For what it's worth. Yeah, I don't want
even next year, even without the stipulation of his contract?
I just don't want anything to do with him.
Is that age or what is it?
It's him throwing his teammates under the bus recently. It's him being 0-18 in like clutch shot situations.
Did you see the people? This is so bad. Did you see the person who like recreated his Gatorade commercial where he's like, I'm here to hit the clutch shot or whatever. And it's against the Pistons, which it's like, come on. But he superimposed him biffing the shot at the end of the whatever the last game was against Cleveland.
It's appropriate.
Yeah, it was. It's really funny. The second part concerns me more than the first. I think he is holding teammates accountable in some sense.
Well, the whole throw a hissy fit after he doesn't get the last shot in game one of the
series. That I don't like to see. That's very fair. But I think him going to the media, it maybe wouldn't be terrible to have a superstar player who would hold other players on the Wolves accountable. But,
huh?
I don't know. The Wolves have a very interesting
Even an aging superstar? Like a 40-year-old superstar?
Oh.
See what I did there?
Oh, God. I don't know. I do worry about Paul George's days a little bit, too. I just think once you hit 30, it's really hard to maintain what you've done throughout your career.
He's like 26, we decided, though. He's younger
than Jimmy. Yeah, let me look.
He's younger than Jimmy Butler.
I thought he was 28, but I might. Oh, he's 26. Yeah, never mind. Age does not.
Younger than me and you.
I know. Age does not concern me now with Paul George. However, he would be 27. He'd be entering his age 28 year, I guess, but whatever.
The Spurs still have Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, too?
I know.
I can't believe we're just not, like, we're falling into the trap.
If you are on the Spurs, however, you are ageless. They are the exception, I guess.
All right. Well, this has been fun. A little comedy, a little bit of NBA playoffs, a little bit of Wolves, maybe, kind of. More next time on Locked On Wolves for Tom Schreier. My name is Zachary Bennett. So long.
Woo.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.